you get the better half tonight. Okay. Have you ever went to a restaurant and sat across from somebody and you couldn't hear them because there was so much noise going on around you? Maybe the music and the dishes were clanking and people were talking and you could not hear what that other person was saying. That happened to me. And I also want to tell you that my father, bless his 86-year-old soul, does not like to wear his hearing aids. And you will call him on the phone, and you hear the phone or the TV blaring in the background so loud. And I say, "Dad, I can't hear you." "What?" I said, "Turn the TV down so I can hear you." And he turns it down, and then he can barely hear me. Or when we go to his house and you can't knock on the door or ring the doorbell or anything like that. So when you walk in, he's startled because he doesn't hear you walk in. And then you say, you look, and the TV is at like 100. And I say, "Dad, do you have your hearing aids in?" And he goes, "What?" That moment always makes me smile, but it does remind me of something. Sometimes it isn't that someone isn't speaking. It's the noise around us that makes it impossible to hear. And sometimes our spiritual lives can feel a little bit like that. Not because God isn't speaking, but because our lives have become so loud. Our schedules are full, our phones are buzzing, our minds are constantly racing. And if you know Pastor Mark, you might think our house is loud all the time. But actually, he's not. When he's on stage, he's full of energy and stories and jokes. But the truth is, when we're at home, he's actually pretty quiet. Which is probably a good thing, because if he was like he is here at home, I would never be able to talk. But even in a quiet house, life still has a way of filling up with noise. And in Psalm 51, we find David in one of those moments. But it's not a peaceful moment. It's a moment of brokenness. Before David ever prayed Psalm 51, there was a moment that changed everything. David had tried to hide his sin. What had he done? Well, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. When she became pregnant, he tried to cover it up. And when that didn't work, he arranged for her husband, Uriah, to be killed. So his sin wasn't just adultery. It was adultery, it was deception, and it was murder. For a while, it looked like David was going to get away with it. But then God sent the prophet Nathan. Nathan told David a story about a rich man who took a poor man's only lamb, and David became furious. And then Nathan looked at him and said, "You are that man." In that moment, everything David had tried to hide was exposed, and David responded, "I have sinned against the Lord." And out of that moment came Psalm 51. Psalm 51, 1 through 3, David begins with honesty. "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." He asks God for mercy. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't blame anybody else. He simply tells the truth. And sometimes the first step towards hearing God is simply that, honesty. Right in the middle of this prayer, David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." David doesn't ask God to fix his circumstances. He asks God for a new heart. because real change happens, or it doesn't happen on the outside. It begins on the inside. Psalm 51:6. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. God does his deepest work in hidden places, not on stages, not in public, but in quiet places where we stop pretending and we lay our hearts out for the Lord. Jesus says something similar here in Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. There's something powerful about the secret place, because it's there that we stop performing, it's there that we stop pretending, and it's there that God begins to deal with the real condition of our hearts. And this just isn't David's story. This is a pattern we see throughout the Bible. Moses encountered God in the wilderness. He had to stop, turn aside, and pay attention. Elijah encountered God on the mountain, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in a gentle whisper. And Jesus himself withdrew regularly to quiet places. If Jesus needs quiet places, how much more do we need them? Over and over, we see the same truth. God meets people in the secret place. But this is where we struggle. This is where our problem is. We want clarity and we want direction. We want to speak to God, but we don't always create a place to hear him. We live in a world that is constantly noisy, always something playing on the radio, always scrolling, always something demanding our attention. And without realizing it, we can go days, weeks, months, and sometimes we go years without ever truly becoming still before God. And if we never become still, we often miss what God is trying to reveal in us. Because revelation rarely happens in a rushed life when you don't take the time to hear God's voice. It happens with a quiet heart. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And I want to say something to you here today. Your life might be actually going very, very well. You're not in a crisis. You're not in a broken place. You're not walking through some kind of painful season. And that's a good thing, right? But don't miss this. This secret place is not just for when your life falls apart. It is for when your life is going well, too. Because if we only seek God when we are in despair and we're desperate, we will miss how he wants to guide us when we are steady. God doesn't just speak in our pain, he speaks in our peace as well. And sometimes the most important directions we receive from God does not come in a crisis moment. It comes in the quiet moment. When everything feels fine, when nothing feels urgent, when life feels stable, that is often when God wants to deepen your faith the most. Because the goal isn't just to run to God when everything is falling apart. The goal is to walk with him every single day, to know his voice, to recognize his leading in your life. So whether you are in a season of brokenness, a season of blessing, the invitation is both the same. Come into your quiet place with him. And sometimes the places where God changes us the most are the places where no one else sees. There was a season in my life where when betrayal entered my story in a very painful way, and a lot of you know that story, and during that time, I found myself doing something I had never done before. I discovered my closet. I would go into my closet, not metaphorically, literally my stinky closet with stinky shoes and clothes and everything, and that's place I would go in, I would close the door, and I would sit and sometimes lay on the floor. And that became the place where I met with God regularly. And let me tell you, this wasn't a pretty prayer closet. It was just a normal closet. Shoes, clothes, probably things I should have donated years prior. But it became my sacred place. I would sit there, I would cry, I would pray, I would search my heart, and I would ask God questions. And sometimes I would just sit there in silence, and I would wait and wait and wait because I wanted to hear him. And I asked him, please speak to me. I want to hear you. And that closet became a pivotal place in my life because everything at that moment felt uncertain. I hate it when people do this. The future felt very unclear to me, and honestly, I was very overwhelmed. But it was in that quiet place that I began to trust God with my future. And what I didn't realize at that time was that I was stepping into the same pattern we see throughout scriptures, which is the process. And I want to slow this down for a moment because Psalm 51 doesn't show us a prayer. It shows us a process of what happens when we truly come before God. And I think this is really important. Because we say things like, I just need to get right before God. We don't always understand what that actually looks like, do we? David shows us step by step. Step number one, it starts with honesty. Psalm 51:3, for my transgressions and my sin are always before me, he says. David says his sin is always there. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't justify it. He doesn't blame somebody else. And that's where it begins with us too. Because we cannot bring to God what we refuse to acknowledge. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. God is not asking you for perfection. He's asking for your honesty. Psalm 51:4 is his confession. Against you, I have sinned. And this is where his pride breaks. This is where we stop defending ourselves because real repentance sounds like, God, you're right. I'm not. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses them and renounces them finds mercy. There's something powerful about confession because what we bring into the light loses its power over us. Then David asks for God to cleanse him. Psalm 51:7, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. David understands something important. He cannot fix himself, and neither can we. We live in a culture that says, fix yourself, improve yourself, try harder. And those things are great, but the gospel says, bring it to God. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God doesn't just cover sin, he cleanses it. And then we come to the center with David in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That word create is very powerful. It's the same word used in Genesis. It means only God can do this. What David is saying is, God, I don't need a better version of myself. I need a new heart. Create in me a clean heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. This is where transformation happens. Not behavior modification, heart transformation. Then in Psalm 51:12, David continues on for his restoration. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, restore my reputation. He says, restore my joy. because sin steals joy, but God restores it. Psalm 51:13, then I will teach others your ways. After restoration comes purpose. God doesn't just heal us, he uses us. Your story becomes someone else's breakthrough. And this is where I want to make this very practical, because this isn't just David's story. This isn't just my closet story. This is an invitation for every single one of us. So what does that actually look like in your real life? What does it look like to step into the secret place? Let me give you something very simple. One, find a place. It doesn't have to be perfect. Mine was a closet. It can be anything. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, go into your room and close the door. It's not about the location, it's about your intention. Put your phone away. Number two, remove your distractions. Put your phone away. If you are on the Bible app and you are, I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I'm in my Bible app, I still get those things that go flicking, and then I'm like, and I'm got ADHD or something because I'm flinging from thing to thing. So I put on my do not disturb, so I can't see those coming through, because when I'm reading and studying in the Bible app, I don't want them coming through. Put that on there. Turn out the noise, because you cannot hear clearly when things around you are loud. Just like when I can't hear my dad. Number three, come honestly. Don't perform. Don't filter. Just clean it up and don't feel like you need to clean it up first. Just come as you are. Number four, sit and listen. Not just talk, listen. Because prayer is not just speaking to God, it's also hearing from him. And five, stay long enough. This is where most people miss it. We rush in, we say a quick prayer, we're done, and we rush out. But sometimes God speaks after we've been still for a little bit. Sometimes the reason we don't hear from God is because it's not because he's not speaking, it's just because we didn't stay long enough to hear. And I didn't realize at this time, but those moments in my closet, they were shaping my future. God wasn't just comforting me in that closet. He was preparing me. Because when we come before God honestly, something beautiful begins to happen. The number first thing is repentance. Repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is a turning. It's when you stop going one direction and you turn back towards God. David says in Psalm 51:3, for I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't blame somebody else. He owns it. And that's where it begins for all of us, because we cannot be changed from something we refuse to acknowledge. And I think sometimes we're afraid of repentance because we think it's all about shame and we think it's all about guilt. But repentance is actually the doorway to freedom. Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing come from the Lord. Did you catch that? Repentance doesn't lead to punishment. It leads to refreshing. Repentance is not where God pushes you away. It's where he invites you back. And then there's cleansing. And then David said in Psalm 51:7, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. David understood something we all need to understand, that he couldn't clean himself, and neither can we. We try, though. We try to fix it. We try to move on, and we try to forget. But you can't wash away guilt and with effort. You can't remove shame by ignoring it. Only God can clean what sin has stained. And cleansing is not God saying, I forgive you. It's God saying, I'm removing this from you. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Some of us have been forgiven, but we're still living like we're not. Cleansing means you don't have to carry what God has already removed. Psalm 51:10 again, create in me a clean heart, O God. He doesn't just want forgiveness, he wants transformation. Because if nothing changes in the heart, we go back to the same place. And this is where people get stuck. They're forgiven, but they're not transformed. But God doesn't just forgive, he renews. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. This is not behavior change. This is heart change. And it happens in the secret place when you sit before God long enough for him to reshape you. Psalm 51:12-13, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then I will teach others your ways. God restores you, then he uses you. But some people stay stuck even after healing. They keep living in the past. But moving forward means this. Your past may be part of your story, but it is not your identity. What God has done in you is greater than anything you've been through. And when God restores you, he doesn't just bring you back. He moves you forward. He propels you with purpose, with direction, and with hope. And that's what I began to experience in that closet. God wasn't just meeting me in my pain. He was leading me through a process of repentance, cleansing, renewal, and then the courage to move forward. So in closing, maybe for David, his quiet place was a cave and mine was a closet. But for each one of us, there may be a quiet place where God is waiting to meet you. Because sometimes the places where we feel the most vulnerable become the place where God does his most beautiful work. And I'm going to pray, unless you want to. I'll pray. And then he can pray too if he wants to. Lord, thank you that you meet us in the quiet places. Thank you that we come honestly before you. You cleanse us, you renew us, and you restore us. Help us to slow down, help us to become still, and help us make space to hear your voice. Create in us clean hearts and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Amen.